All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
Stop. Wait. Stop everything. Happy birthday, David.
Oh, thank you.
My man.
Right off the top.
My man, right off the top. Big birthday. Now, listen, I got you a gift.
I don't know if I like where this is going.
But when I say I got you a gift, what I mean is, oh, I had a good idea for what I'm going to get you for your birthday. I didn't actually go get it.
The best gifts are the ones that have a lot of thought in them, that are just still thoughts.
Right. I don't want to rush into it.
It's a lot of commitment.
Right. Everybody else probably got you stuff on your birthday. You know, but your more thoughtful friends like me, I'm stretching it out. You're welcome.
Wow, thanks, Ben. It's the most meaningful thoughts that make the difference to me.
Oh, my goodness. Well, happy birthday.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, man.
You only turn 21 as many times as you say.
That's right. The best birthday was when I made you that cake.
Yeah,
in
that's
IMAX.
Still one of the best.
That was great.
I came to see Harry Potter 5, I think. I don't know.
I don't know which one. I'm just pleased I could remember it was Harry Potter.
Yeah. And then Penn's like, we're going to sing happy birthday to David, like in front of the whole IMAX.
Yeah, sold out, 400 people.
Yeah.
In the sold out IMAX, first show in the new IMAX.
Right.
IMAX was brand new. This was the first public show. And we wheel in this really cool Harry Potter themed cake that we got made up.
It had like the blue car and the lights.
Yep.
The lights lit up and everything. It was so cool.
That was right around, remember that show Cake Boss?
Yeah.
I think that show's still on, but that back then was like right around when Cake Boss was like the cool thing.
The cool thing.
Yeah, that everybody was into. So yeah, that was awesome.
That was a great time. Thanks so much for that.
But I did like a week and a half ago or like 2 weeks ago. Because I've been thinking about this,
It's building up in your head.
Right. And so then it finally clicked. It's like, oh, that's when I'm going to get them. And I just haven't.
Haven't pulled the trigger? Yeah. Well, a preemptive thank you for the mystery gift. Well,
I just haven't had time to get over to PetSmart.
Buy that. Oh, no.
Oh, no. How awkward.
I hope you like dogs.
Plural. Yeah. All right, David, let's get into it.
Speaking of dirty dogs.
Dirty dogs.
Let's get into some Marvel news here.
All right.
Because, we always have some of that.
Yes, thank God.
I know, right? So Kevin Feige, our boy, he confirms that Ms. Marvel, She-Hulk, and Moon Knight will all make MCU appearances after their shows. I think this was a kind of, everyone's like, oh yeah, like, we were all talking like it was going to happen.
Right.
But it's officially been announced. And I think that's great. And hopefully it's more than just a background appearance. I think that's what they're kind of saying is that like these characters will go on to be substantial things in the movies. Kind of hitting home a weird thing here. I don't know how comfortable people are. That like you need to see this Disney Plus content now. Like it's not going to be an fully optional if you want the full experience.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know some people are uncomfortable with that, but if it's done right, I don't really care.
Yeah, I don't really either. I mean,
yeah.
What do you mean they're uncomfortable?
I know some people like I don't want to. Some people that maybe aren't enticed by Disney Plus.
So they feel like they're not going to get their full movie experience.
Yeah, if they don't have, it's basically saying if you don't buy this other thing, then you're not going to understand the thing that you've loved all this time.
Right.
So, I'm going to go a little bit off of that and kind of go down the list here because we're talking about how Marvel's taking these you know, they're pulling the movie, because even the shows, they're like pulling the movie cast down to TV. Well, the guys in charge of Star Wars, they want to do the opposite thing with The Mandalorian. So their thing right now is we want to build out The Mandalorian and then hope that those characters either get like progress into their own movies or start showing up
right
in like as main characters in the movies, like the reverse of the Marvel.
This is similar, except on a good way. This is similar to the concept of like making a movie from a TV show.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's essentially, if you boil it down, that's what we're talking about. Except the difference is, at least in this one subjective opinion, this quote unquote TV show is a hell of a lot better than like the A-Team I watched in the 1980s. Well, or the Starsky and Hutch or the Alvin and Chipmunks. You're not just taking sort of throwaway TV. You're taking really high quality, really well-produced shows that happen to be at home.
Yeah. Like these shows cost as much as how movies used to cost to make per episode.
Yeah. This is no Three's Company.
Right. And I think before the difference would be you'd have the show and then you'd have like a movie that either tried to encompass a full story of the show that like for people who didn't understand it or you know, be like, oh, this is the movie, but it's actually just like the beginning of the characters or whatever.
Right.
And now it's like, no, wait, this is a continued story.
Yeah.
Up into, I mean, Downton Abbey did it, but.
Did you see the headline? It came out a little too late for us to get into the show notes. I just glanced down and saw, I can't wait to talk about Venom too. Did you see the headline that came out that was like, they announced a bunch of new Marvel Universe movies? Like as soon as 21 or 22, something like that?
Something
like 21 and 22 and 22 and 23.
I saw it, but I figured we'd save it for next week. But I didn't get a full picture. I saw that they had like a continued timeline of stuff. And I think it's changing because I know last week we were talking about Ant-Man being like, and even Spider-Man like was not in their path before, and those are coming up quicker, than we thought.
Well, that's good. All right, so we'll look forward to talking more about that next week, I guess.
Yeah. All right. There we go.
All right, Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
I don't know why I didn't really. There's nothing to report here, except for the fact that. On December 25th of 2020. Yes.
Is that a special day?
For some people.
Okay.
Next Christmas, Chris Pratt has this movie coming out called The Tomorrow War. And I just make a note of it because this will be a big Christmas movie that is not a big franchise.
Oh.
With this massive A-list movie star.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't you think he's A-list?
He's A-list now,
yeah. So I just thought that was cool, and I sort of make a mental note, like the Tomorrow War, the Tomorrow War starring Chris Pratt in December of 2020. I'm just sort of throwing a marker down here. I think this is going to be a good movie, like in the true sense of the word. Like I just smell something special about this.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I think I heard a little bit about what this is about. And it's about in the future, I don't know how far in the future, there's a war.
Right.
And they don't have enough soldiers. So they start recruiting soldiers from the past to fight in the future in the tomorrow's war.
Right.
Yeah. That could be really interesting.
Yeah.
Like in my mind, I just imagine a battlefield where like with like a section of World War II fighters against like current day guys.
And there's a guy over there loading his musket.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting.
I don't know. I loved the, what was it with Tom Cruise? The Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Is that what it was called? Yeah. I love that movie. I love time travel concepts. I just get off on like the mind bending. Like I just love fooling around with the concept of time because it's such an artificial thing.
Right.
It's so bogus.
Says the man who only has so many minutes a day.
I'm just saying. It's exactly my point. It's exactly my point. You gotta stay on top of this stuff or they just slip away.
Right.
You know?
It's too much to handle.
I don't know. You heard it here first, The Tomorrow War.
Okay. So, I mean, it's these days it's hard to talk about anything that's not Disney related.
Disney Plus.
Right. Plus. Disney Plus, whatever. Right.
Which we all got it.
Right? We all, everyone's right? got it.
All right, if you're listening to this podcast and you did not get Disney Plus,
podcast@pencinema.com. Tell us why.
Yeah, what's up?
I'm curious. I mean,
It's hard to say. I mean, I get it. Believe me, I get it.
Yeah.
It's money.
Right.
But it's not a ton of money, and you could get it and cancel it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm curious. Like, seriously, let us know, podcast@pencinema.com, why you did not get Disney Plus.
If it's for any reason other than you just couldn't afford it.
Yeah, if you can't afford it,
I mean, that's a legit, like, total 100% reason.
Sure.
Shouldn't overextend Obviously. Yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So speaking of Disney Plus.
Speaking of Disney Plus, they put the Star Wars movies on there, right? Now, are you familiar with how Han shot first?
Yes.
Right. In the original Star Wars,
yes,
Han shoots Greedo first.
Right.
And it defines him as a scoundrel, which I'm sure you love that aspect. I love that aspect. And then the special editions came out. And in the special editions, Mr. Lucas changed it so that he wasn't such a scoundrel for
He's
kids.
He's such a rat.
Yeah. And so Greedo shoots first.
Greedo. What a dumb name. I mean, like, for all the great stuff that's come out in Star Wars and all the great characters they've developed, Greedo?
Come on. Yeah.
That sounds like a middle school English project.
So Greedo shoots first.
Yeah.
And then Han's reacting.
Right.
And then he edited it a little bit further when they came out, the special editions came to home video, where they both shoot at the same time. And then they edited it again so that Han's head digitally moves to the side, so he dodges it. The new shot. Now, there's a new edit now that it's on Disney Plus.
You got to finish this train of thought,
right,
and then we're coming back to this.
Okay.
Because I have something to say about this whole topic in general. Okay. You go ahead.
All right. So now, before anybody fires, Greedo screams, McClucky! For some reason. No one knows what it means.
Dooby-dooby-doo!
Yeah. And then he shoots. And then so it's like, Han, that explains why he can dodge it. Because he says, I guess it didn't make sense that he could dodge it. Now, the reason of this change is not because of Disney. Apparently, when Lucas still owned the property and he was upscaling it to, I don't know, whatever, current HD, whatever, he changed it then. And then that's the version, that's the most like high def version that they brought to the streaming service. And so that's what's in there. Is this not ridiculous?
This is the ridiculousest. This is max ridiculousness.
Over the top.
This, all right, can we talk?
Not on this podcast, we can't.
Here's my problem. You know what my problem is?
What's your problem? With Penn.
I got a problem. Here's my problem. I'm going to tell you about my problem.
Okay.
My problem is, this is why I hate director's cuts. Make the freaking movie, release it,
right,
and then start making another movie.
Right.
Like, you don't see guys like famous artists going into the Louvre.
The Louvre.
The Louvre.
Pinky's out.
What's up? You don't see famous artists cranking out their pinkies and walking into the Louvre and touching up their Mona Lisa. Like, oh, actually, I wanted her to have an earring.
She always had a nose ring in mind.
She always had a nose ring. Everybody knows that. I want her to be more approachable, so I'm going to put a cup of tea in her lap. Like, no.
Right.
The guy painted it.
Yeah.
Let it dry. Mm-hmm. Put it in a frame, and then he was done. Why George Lucas is the king
of doing this.
Oh my and
gosh.
It's the worst.
Yeah.
And I hate, I just, and you know, where did we see that? Did we see that with Tarantino too and Spielberg? Some of these guys,
like
they just can't resist. Like, I hate that. I have never on purpose watched a director's cut.
Oh.
I'll show them.
Wow.
Dirty bastards.
Wow. So what you're really getting at is you want them to release the Snyder cut of
right.
Why not?
Exactly. That's case in point. Thank you. Asked and answered.
Yeah.
This is a this that is another ridiculous thing.
Why do you think there's a Snyder Cut?
I have no idea, and I could care less. Here's the thing, right? I mean, now you got me cranked up.
The funny part is you did something that's very common. You said, I could care less, which means that you hold it really high. You care about it a lot. So, the truth revealed. It's all slipping out now.
It's some kind of Freudian slip. Freudian slip. Now I got a list of problems because of you. You got me cranked up.
I love it.
Here's the problem.
Yeah.
Here's the Snyder Cut debacle.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Is like triple ridiculous because it's so presumptuous for them to think that anybody is still thinking about this movie. Batman versus Superman. We're spending all of our energy looking forward to the Batman.
Right.
We have let that franchise, which I'm being generous, we have let that go, right?
Right.
And we're looking forward in the spirit of our love for Batman.
Right.
And in the spirit of our love for comics and DC and Warner Brothers.
And
Batty Bats and the future of the movies, Jeffrey Wright and crew.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. We're all looking forward. Mm-hmm. And these guys just can't bear the thought of, like, letting their work be done. And so now they're fabricating this interest in a title that should be left to die.
Right. Release the Snyder Cut. Penn Ketchum 2019.
There is no Snyder Cut. And who cares?
Yeah.
I could care less.
You did it again.
All right. I'm sorry. I would like to retract my statement.
Yeah.
I would like to issue a new statement. My client would like to issue a new statement. I couldn't care less.
Oh.
What's up? What's up? It's my birthday. What's up?
Wow.
Batty Bats in the house.
You got any news for me, man?
Wait. Hang on. Yes, I do.
You got to mark off what you got marked
I do.
Off,
I do. Huh? I do. I got big news. I got big news. I'm so excited.
Mm-hmm.
I was so excited. You know, David, the only thing I enjoy more.
Uh-huh.
Yes. The only thing I enjoy more than movie news that makes me happy. Is when I spot movie news that I know is going to piss you off. I was so excited. I'm scrolling or whatever, you know, and all of a sudden there's the headline. Venom 2. What, has begun filming or has a script or what?
It's filming.
And so I was so excited. I didn't even click on it. First, I went to the show notes and typed in Venom 2. And then I went downstairs and got a new cup of coffee.
You needed some time to
Because when
process.
I see something good, I like to settle in. When I see something good, like sometimes I get an email from someone I've been waiting to hear from about something I'm excited about or whatever. When I see it come in, I like to get up, stretch, walk away, get a new coffee, dump out the cold coffee, pour in the new fresh hot coffee, maybe chit-chat with the kids downstairs.
Right.
I got a little smile, a little, what's his expression about in his step, something in his step.
What? Spring in his step?
He's got a little spring in his step, you know, comes back upstairs. Oh, here it is. I'm all excited. Rubbing my hands together. Venom 2, baby. And you know, the first thing when I see it is I go to the comment section and type in your name,
just
David Bolton.
Yeah. I saw it. I was like, ugh.
So here's another opportunity to hear from our listener.
Yeah.
Do you hate Venom 2 as much as David does? Like, because we've had an interesting thing going on here in the podcast where you have put a stake in the ground with how much you hate The Last Jedi.
Right.
And we've had, honestly, mixed reviews from our listeners, right?
Yeah. I would say probably more positive than negative, but mixed.
But mixed, right. Yeah. I mean, I was a little bit, I was pleasantly surprised that we had a good amount of people sticking up for The Last Jedi. Mm-hmm. But certainly there's a fair number of people that are like, oh, it's a waste of time. I think there was a, Wasn't there a hilarious note we got from somebody who said it was like a smoothie shake of crap? So I'm curious from our listeners, like Venom 2, is David alone on this? Is he on the island? Because I'm not saying Venom was my favorite movie, but I mean, I'll go watch Venom 2.
Wow.
You won't watch it.
No, I probably will. I mean, let's be honest. I'm a sucker. I want to know how bad it is. I want to be able to be like, I was right. Pinky's out.
What are the odds? Now, I think the odds are pretty good because you're a pretty honest guy.
Yeah.
What are the odds if this movie's awesome? Will you admit that?
If it's awesome, I'll admit it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll say that I was wrong. Yeah. But it's got to be pretty damn awesome.
What do we know about Venom 2?
Well, it's going to have Andy Serkis in it.
Oh, I hope there's a director's cut coming.
Snyder cut of this movie. Cannot wait. if the Stinger has anything to do, Carnage will be in it. Maybe.
Is Rian Johnson writing and directing?
Look.
It's like the perfect storm for
perfect
David.
Storm.
And Chloe Grace Moretz stars. As Venomette, introducing Venomette. Venomette,
the other, when Venom made out with himself. Anyway. Yeah, it'll take a lot. It'd take a lot. It really would. I don't know what it would take, but it would have to be pretty awesome.
Okay.
I didn't like the movie a lot, but then also there's a part of me that just doesn't like what they changed about the mythos because I'm a Stickler fanboy. But if I can get past that and the movie is genuinely good, I'll admit it.
You raise an interesting point, though, which raises the bar or sets the bar higher, wherever you want to say that. The fundamental basis on which this movie is premised.
Yeah.
That's a word.
Uh-huh.
Is flawed. Hold on. Is flawed in your...
It checks out. Definitely
it
a word.
Checks out. It's flawed in your opinion.
Yes.
So it's going to be a really impressive thing if this movie has any appeal to you.
I am okay with a Venom movie.
Right.
But to have Venom originate without Spider-Man doesn't make him Venom.
Right.
Because the whole idea... Not the whole idea, but a big thing about Venom is it's like, what if Spider-Man was big, beefy, strong, and also like kind of bad? That's Venom.
It's awesome.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, he's an anti-hero, so he's not always bad.
Like Han Solo.
Right. But I mean, in the comics, he's a little bit more bad, but it's like, what, you know, that's kind of the what if. He's got the same power base as Spider-Man or whatever. And so it's like a big, beefy, like angsty, bad Spider-Man guy. Without all the baggage of the actual Peter Parker stuff. So.
Can I say something awful?
Yeah.
Changing topics a little bit. George Lucas.
Oh, okay.
Are we going to go there?
I mean, I guess we're going there.
I mean, listen, you're going to do a director's cut. You're going to change Han Solo. You're going to keep changing your movies. What are the chances that this bastard makes something fresh? Something besides Star Wars. Is he just too old at this point?
Here's the thing. I don't think he needs to do anything.
No, absolutely not. Right off into the sunset.
Yeah.
And you will forever be one of the most iconic storytellers known to man. That's
right.
That's already locked. You're in the Hall of Fame. Done. Period. Why do you have to keep coming back, inserting yourself into the discussion for no good reason? Why can't you come back and be like Spielberg, who makes really fun movies, but also comes sometimes and makes a Saving Private Ryan or, right. You know, a thoughtful. Why can't you make a biopic?
What was the last movie he made that wasn't Star Wars?
American Graffiti.
That was the last non-Star Wars movie?
I mean, I don't know, but that's the one that comes to mind. I'm pretty sure. Podcast at Penn Cinema.
.com. I don't know. I can't think of. I can't. I mean, I don't know if he has any other ideas. My question is: was he always a mediocre creator, and he was just hoisted up by others, or? Is he the secret genius that can't let go of his baby?
See, here's my thing. I think if you're a real secret genius,
yeah,
you do move on. Spielberg moves on, Scorsese moves on. Although Scorsese keeps coming back to do mob movies, but I mean, at least he's doing different stuff.
Right.
I don't know. I'm not trying to say. I'm just saying.
Well, he can't fool around with stuff anymore since Disney owns everything.
Right.
So I know he shows up because I saw pictures of him. It was funny. There's behind the scenes stuff of him on the set of The Mandalorian, but there's no sound. And they're like, it's kind of funny that there's no audio. It's just like music and stuff. And like, you can't hear what they're actually saying. Yeah. So anyway.
All right. So in other news.
Yeah.
The Joker. I'm sorry. The Joker.
The Joker.
Shrek 6. The Joker. The Joker crosses $1 billion.
Right. What does this mean for R-rated films or comma superhero films?
I don't know. I don't think it means a whole lot other than if you make a really good movie and you make it well and it's rated R for appropriate reasons.
Right.
You know, it's not like just one dirty joke after another and, you know, then people are going to want to see it and it's going to do really well. It's going into its 10th week, still in the top 10 movies.
Now, riddle me this. What's more important to the studio? Yeah, you thought I did that.
I heard you did that. Oh, yeah. I see you.
I'm going to edit. Wah, wah, wah. So, what's more important to the studio? A huge opening week or 2 weeks, or bringing in the big bucks over 10 weeks?
Absolutely the second scenario.
So they'd rather make more money over a longer period of time.
Right.
Even though, don't they collect less money the longer you have it?
No.
Oh, that's changed.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
That's right. You did say that before.
Yeah.
So they want the long haul.
They absolutely want the long haul, but I think the point is they don't care which scenario brings them more money as long as they get more money.
Gotcha.
So there's no value in them for having a massive two-day opening if the movie dies 2 weeks later.
Right. But if they made more money, if they made more money over massive openings, they could make more massive openings, right?
No, because it depends how massive you're talking about. Because if it's massive enough, then the movie's going to have legs.
Okay.
To some extent, definitely we see movies that have big openings. And when I say big, I mean like $60 or $70 million, because everyone's so excited to see it. But then everybody watches it and is like, oh my God, this movie sucks. And the next weekend it drops by, typically a decent movie should drop 50-55%.
Right.
You see movies drop 70-72%, 69%. That's a movie that's a problem for a studio, because what that means is that everybody came out, everyone who wants, it means one of two things.
Right.
Either there's a limited audience, in which case everyone who wants to see it came out the first weekend and then there's nobody left to see it.
Okay.
A la Parasite.
Really?
Or the second scenario where everybody came out to see it because they were super excited to see it and then they decided it sucked. And nobody, like, there was the opposite of word of mouth.
Back in the episode. So Parasite's dropped down?
Yeah.
Is it done here?
Yes. Not because it did that terrible, but because it didn't do well enough to hold up against the incoming holiday titles.
Right.
And they're getting it as Zootropolis.
Right.
So I'm not really worried about fighting for it, because I know people in my community, if they still haven't seen it, they can go down to our friends at Zoe down there on Water Street and check it out.
I already had people come up to me who I've been telling about it or who had seen it and were telling others and like planning a group going to try and get other people to go see it. So
yeah,
it's like when it comes back around. So
now I want to say another thing about Joker.
Okay.
Cause I thought this was really interesting. Joker is now the most profitable movie ever made.
Ever.
Now you have to parse that down. You have to unpack that a little bit.
Oh, because of how little it costs to make.
Relative to the cost of production and the cost of advertising and all that kind of stuff, the cost of making the movie compared to crossing the $1 billion mark makes Joker the most profitable movie of all time.
This is kind of like that Awkwafina movie where they're like, it has more people in the audience than Avengers or
this
whatever.
Is more, I think this is a more legitimate statistic.
Okay, more legitimate.
The Awkwafina stat, which was for The Farewell.
The Farewell, yeah.
The Farewell stat was, in my opinion, really kind of a gimmick.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like when you compare a quarterback against Tom Brady because he had a great 15 games. You know what I mean? As opposed to a quarterback who's been doing it for 16 years. So nobody really felt like they could compare The Farewell to The Avengers.
Those are sports things you were talking about,
think
right?
I think they're sports things, yeah. Tom Brady's a vegan from up in Boston. uh-huh. You know, Brady, people at that level, they get to see, like, he probably saw the new Star Wars movie already.
Already.
You know, it's like ridiculous. Ugh. Anyway, I just thought that was an interesting, I think that this concept of the movie being the most profitable of all time is a more legitimate, it's not a gimmick, it's just an interesting stat.
Now, okay, since we're on the subject, do you think because of that, this type of success is repeatable for the Joker franchise?
I do.
Do you think that they can make Joker 2 as cheap as they made the first Joker?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, and the reason why I say that is because Todd Phillips has gone on record saying we can't use Joker as a springboard to some crazy elaborate more traditional superhero movie. If there's a sequel, it needs to be similar in tone and scope. In other words, it needs to be another character-driven story.
Sure, but you don't think Joaquin Phoenix doesn't say, well, I want double my pay.
Yeah, but double his pay still makes it, instead of a $67 million movie, now it's a $107 million movie. It's still a pretty it's not a $400 million Star Wars movie.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
It's still expensive. I'm not saying they can do it for the same amount of money, but I'm saying, yeah.
All right. Okay, interesting.
And that, of course, is all speculating anyway, because you know I'm not convinced they're gonna make another one.
I was reading this week, and I forgot to put it on here, that they're like now really tossing it around.
Really? Yeah. I mean, that Todd Phillips interview certainly leads you to think a certain way.
Yeah.
Now, David, we got to get on to the rest of our news.
Okay.
I'm tired of the normal news. I think it's time we do like some cutting edge, hardcore, hard hitting, investigating journalism.
Okay.
And I know you've got this story, shocker.
Are you ready for this?
I don't know. Hey, listen, if you're listening to this while you're driving,
pull over.
For God's sakes.
You're going to need.
For the love of all that is good.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to concentrate on anything after this.
Pull over.
Okay. And it's just a shocking surprise to the world. An actor paid to promote a movie that they are in.
Stop it.
Says the movie's going to be great.
Wow.
And that we should all go see it. I know. This actor, Margot Robbie, promises James Gunn's The Suicide Squad is going to be very, very good. I mean, before I was like, is it going to be good? But now, I mean, she promises. So.
I mean, if Margot Robbie says it's going to be very, very good.
I know. And it's not like she has any stakes in the bit.
You know what that comment reminds me of?
What's that?
My dear old dad.
Uh-huh.
Pop-Pop Peter. He's got some pet peeves.
Yeah?
You know, he's got some things that annoy him. One of his pet peeves is when people say something's really unique.
Is that his unpacking?
Because he likes to point out that something is either unique or it's not. You can't be really unique.
I love
like if something's not very unique, then it's just not
it's
unique.
It's not unique.
Right.
Yeah. I love your dad's Facebook profile picture. It keeps coming up in my suggested friends. He's got the biggest frown in the world.
The mugshot photo. Yeah.
He's like, ah. I crack up every time I see it. All right. You ready to talk about some trailers?
I am. I have some good ones here. I like some of these.
Okay. You want to start us off?
I do.
All right.
Zoinks. Scooby.
Scooby snacks.
There's a new movie coming out in early 2020.
Yeah.
In May of 2020 called Scoob.
Yeah.
Scooby-Doo movie called Scoob. And it looks to me like it's a Scooby-Doo origin story.
Yeah.
Which I kind of think looks pretty awesome.
I do too. Like, this is not a movie for me, and I
no.
most likely will not see this movie. However, I thought it was like as a kid movie. Like, I think it looks really good, and I, like the bond between a boy and his dog. I think that's like really sweet. Plus, you got the like the Scooby antics didn't seem over the top ridiculous.
Right.
You know, I thought it looks good.
Yeah. No, I did too. I thought it was cool, and I'm looking forward to watching this movie with my nephew.
I cracked up. What is it? Velma? She's like, gray hair, some like ash smells of bad scotch, and Daphne's like, oh, is it my dad?
Another good kids movie. This is Sonic Hedgehog featuring the new less jacked
Sonic the Hedgehog. Okay.
All right.
That first Sonic trailer was so bad.
Yeah.
It made the whole movie look like it was a horrible piece of crap. It is amazing how the design change of the main character can make the same story, the same scenes, all of a sudden appealing. Like, I'm not saying movie of the year. I'm not saying this movie is going to be great. All I'm saying is this looks like a Sonic the Hedgehog movie that I have no problems with.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the design changes.
I did too. I thought the movie looked great, and I put this on right there with Scoob about, like, yeah, it's not intended for you or me or probably anybody listening to this podcast, but if you have kids in your life that you occasionally see movies with, then
yeah,
this movie will probably be pretty good.
So do you think horror Sonic, Scary Sonic, was a promotional
thing? A gimmick?
Yeah. Do you think that they always had this in the wings?
They fabricated the whole outrage.
Yeah, let's get some people talking about this. Let's get the outrage out there. Because the people that had to work overtime, hardcore, to make this change, and how short of a time they made it.
That's fascinating. I hadn't thought of that.
Mm.
All right, Fantasy Island.
Okay. If you would have told me, let's do Fantasy Island, but let's make it a horror film, I would have been like, what? Why?
Why?
It's like, I don't.
Why?
That's not the premise of it.
Why?
Ricardo Montalban is not liking this. But this trailer, I thought it was pretty good. Like, the ideas around it, like the whole premise of, like, okay, you step through this door and your fantasy is on the other side, but you have to see your fantasy the whole way through. I guess no matter what or whatever. And I don't know if there's always negative things happen to you or only if you don't see your fantasy the whole way through. But it looks like it's a trap.
It's a fascinating premise.
Yeah.
Because so often what we dream about, we just dream about the glossy, happy, like, you know, catching the winning pass in the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. you know. But you don't think about, you know, all the other stuff that comes with that.
Here's my prediction for this movie. Because it starts off, and there's, what is that, Zazie Beetz? Mm. Is that the girl?
Mm-hmm.
And the guy who played Leguizamos, the guy who played Luigi in the
I got nothing.
In the Mario Brothers movie. Okay. John Leguizamos. No, it's not John Leguizamos. It's
Michael Scott?
Pena. Yeah, from Ant-Man.
Okay.
They're like on the island and they're hosting the island. Here's my prediction. They are trapped there.
That's their fantasy.
Well, the way out is that you have to host. The only way to survive is to bring others in.
Gotcha.
And then if they fall victim, they can get away or whatever. I bet there's like a circular thing, and it'll end with like two of the current crew like becoming the new hosts or something. Yeah. Anyway, I thought it was a pretty good trailer. So it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood had an international trailer. Now look, there are two trailers on here that I didn't get to watch, and this is one of them.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. But I saw the regular trailer, so right. It's not like I'm unfamiliar with right. the movie. So What's the difference between the international trailer? Did you see it?
I did not spot a difference.
Okay. I from the photos and stuff, it looked pretty similar.
Yeah.
Now, this opens this week?
This opens this week. This is a really interesting movie.
Okay.
I think we already established the fact that this is not a kid's movie in the sense of, like, a true kid's movie. But I thought it was a kid's movie in the sense of, like, Saving Mr. Banks.
Oh.
Do you remember Saving Mr. Banks?
Yeah, uh-huh. A family film, you mean.
Right.
Yeah.
And what I'm hearing more and more is that this is actually a drama.
Really?
That it's not necessarily a family movie. Now, I have to admit, this is a Sony movie.
Okay.
And the story that I got about it was from a rep from another one of the major studios who I don't want to name in case, God forbid, somebody from... If anybody from the studios ever starts actually listening to this podcast, I'm going to have some splaining to do.
Lucy!
But seriously, I think that... I haven't seen it yet. Obviously, it comes out later this week. But I think it looks really good, and I think it's going to be amazing. But... I'm also bracing myself for families who bring, like, their kids to see it.
Oh.
And are disappointed. Now, what I'm hoping is that all those families are just going to be busy watching Frozen.
Yeah. Now, does that open this week or next week?
This week. So I think that Beautiful Day is going to be perfect for the senior crowd. And Frozen is going to be perfect for families. Yeah. And I hope that they all go to where they're supposed to go.
Okay.
And then we get to see The Irishman. So, what's up?
The Irishman's this week, too?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. So what you need to do is right behind the chopper.
Right.
You got like, airline guys, like, directing.
Right.
Family this way.
Old people this way.
Yeah. We know what you're here for.
Yeah. All right.
The other one I didn't watch was Trolls 2. I think I may have caught this in the theater, but then it said it came out sooner.
I didn't see
whatever.
It.
Whatever. I don't really care about this movie.
No, nobody does.
Pass it on.
Speaking of movies nobody cares about, the SpongeBob movie.
Did you watch this trailer?
No.
Okay. I watched this trailer, and I laughed a couple times. I know people, I know young adults that are going to be all about this movie for the nostalgia.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll give you
stuff.
That.
So,
Is it full-on animated? It's just like the show?
But this is CG the whole way through. Computer graphics and not the original animation. So I've never seen any of the other SpongeBobs. I wasn't a fan of the show. I mean, I've seen clips and they're funny, but
did you like the Simpsons movie?
Okay. I think it was okay. Yeah.
Same.
Yeah.
All right. One last real trailer.
Okay. The Way Back, aka untitled Ben Affleck movie. Pirate Dave sent us this and was like, "What up?
What up?"
And I'm glad he did because you know what? This movie was not on IMDb's list of new trailers.
Oh?
Yeah. So, I have things to say about this trailer. What do you have to say about it? Okay. So, here's the deal. I was watching this trailer, and I was like, this trailer is masterfully made. I think whoever made this trailer knows how to make trailers. But even with all the work they're putting into it, I do not care at all about some basketball coach. And at one point, I even, like, put my phone down and was, like, listening to it and not watching it anymore. I was like, is it still going? But it just, like, I don't know. This doesn't look like anything new or anything worth my time. Like, guy with drinking problem comes back to Old Town to teach basketball. And it looks like there's probably a girl interest who's like, oh, you're teaching basketball now? And he's like, yeah, but these guys are lame, but I'm going to make them great. Mighty Ducks. Seen Mighty Ducks 1, 2, and 3.
I think the verb that you're looking for is coaching.
Coaching.
Coaching basketball.
Oh.
Not teaching basketball.
I don't know if you know this, but I'm big into sports.
I know, you're huge.
What did you think of this?
I don't know. I mean, I guess I had a tiny bit more generous... I didn't love it. I'm not like, oh, I can't wait. But, I mean, I do like Ben Affleck a lot, you know, and I do think he's a talented actor, and I like him enough that I would go watch this movie.
Okay.
I agree with you. It looked so corny, So, like, totally agree with you. Like, okay, guy with a drinking problem comes back to town to teach basketball, you know.
Girl shows interest.
Girl shows interest. The team sucks. But then, oh, maybe they don't, you know. I'm sure that he's got some untraditional sort of coaching methods that he's going to employ.
And there's a speech.
Bring out the best. But, you know, all right. Like, okay.
What got me interested was the people behind it.
Yeah.
Same as, what was it?
The accountant. And Warrior.
And Warrior. Yeah. So I was like, all right, got some heavy hitters behind it. Yeah. That's the only really reason I continued to give it my time when it was playing.
Your minutes.
My minutes.
The Warrior is a great movie.
I can't think if I saw it.
It's worth seeing. Tom Hardy's in it. It came out right before he did... or right after Batman, or right before Batman, or it was in that same era.
Interesting. You know. So
who did he play? What was his name in Batman?
Bane.
Right before or after Bane. He was great in Warrior.
What's your trailer of the week?
I have to admit, I don't have one that jumps out, but I liked Scoob.
I was going
to
say Scoob, I think, was my... I think for a movie, I'm more interested in Fantasy Island, but I think Scoob was a better trailer.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So, all right. What's been going on at the theater this week?
At your local multiplex?
At your local multiplex.
Local multiplex. Well, we were pretty consistent with all the national headlines. You know, Ford versus Ferrari was big number one. Mm-hmm. Charlie's Angels crashed and burned. Really struggled today.
Really?
With the studios.
Oh.
We had, today was like throwing elbows. It was a bloodbath. Because we have the upcoming holiday weekend. So whatever films we book for week of 11/22 are going to be playing the day before Thanksgiving, the day of Thanksgiving, and in all likelihood on Black Friday, November 29th. So it's really high stakes because nobody wants to get dropped.
Right.
So I'm keeping a ton of movies for one show a day. And then at the other end of the spectrum, everybody wants to be held clean. You know, and it's just a lot of fighting. There was a lot of screaming today. There's some phone calls.
Held clean, in case people don't know what it means.
Held clean means that, for example, in Theater 3, in that auditorium, the first show of the day, second, third, fourth, and fifth show of the day would all be the same movie. So in other words, if I'm a studio with a nice short movie, then I expect six movies in Theater 3. If I'm a studio like Fox with a long movie like Ford v Ferrari, a clean run would only be four shows a day. But the point is, in that auditorium, the only thing that plays is my movie. So that's clean.
Right.
A split movie means that in Theater 3, I could play like one matinee of Ford and then a matinee of Playing with Fire and then like an early evening of Harriet, and then a prime of Ford, and then a late show of Harriet. You know, you sort of mix and match, which is what I like to do. That's what I think I'm really good at, because it allows me to hold over a wider variety of movies.
Right.
But with this holiday week coming up, what I did today was a lot of wheeling and dealing. My favorite exchange was with my guy from Paramount.
Yeah.
Mark Johnson.
Marky Mark Johnson.
Marky Mark. Mark's a good guy. I've dealt with some real characters over the years. I think I've told you before about Bruce Blatt, who yells and screams. He's yelling at you before you even answer the phone. Like, while it's ringing, he starts yelling at you. He's so mad. He can't wait for you to answer before he starts screaming at you.
This guy.
Yeah. Bruce. So anyway, Mark, on the other hand, is a very subdued, very calm, nice guy. Got a good sense of humor, whatever, but he's very, I don't know him that great, so, but my impression is that he's kind of a by-the-book type of guy. So he sent me this email this morning expressing his displeasure about my plans for the John Cena hit, Playing with Fire. Now, Paramount's in a pickle, because Playing with Fire is a kids' movie that's doing really well. Mm-hmm. The reason why they're in a pickle is because everybody except them knows that it's doing really well because there's no other kids' movies.
Right.
And everybody except them knows that as soon as Frozen opens, their movie is going to drop like a hot rock.
Oof.
So they want it to hold clean.
Oh.
So I tell them we're getting rid of it in Honey in the Valley. he was not happy with this. Sent me an email expressing as such. So that was at like, let's say like 10 a.m. Now he's out on the West Coast. So that's first thing in his time.
Yeah.
I never wrote him back.
Ouch.
So around 4:30 p.m. Eastern time, I get my cell phone rings and it's Mark. Right? And he goes, hey, I said, hey, this, I don't avoid people. I mean, on Mondays, you know, I don't avoid studios.
Yeah.
When I see it's a Beverly Hills number or a Los Angeles number or a New York City number, I pick up the phone. I'm not hiding.
Do your thing, yeah.
Right? So I look at my phone. I see it's Mark. So I say, hello. And he says, oh, hey, Ben, it's Mark. I say, hey, Mark, how you doing? And then he goes, I sent you an email this morning about Huntington Valley. I'm not sure if you saw it. I said, yeah, I saw it. I said, I was hoping if I ignored it long enough, it would go away. He starts laughing. He goes, well, it didn't go away yet. I said, well, how about we give it another 12 hours and see if it goes away? So it kind of reminded me of like the Big Lebowski when he's shoving his head in the toilet and he pulls him back up and the guy goes, Lebowski goes, send me down there one more time. I think I almost got it. So we had a good laugh about that. But you know, today was a very stressful day. I'm kind of like waiting for the other shoe to drop because I just sort of put a lot of stuff out there. And so that's what's going on around.
Wow. Have you ever, this is controversial.
Yeah.
Have you ever just dropped my name in these discussions? Like, yeah. Hold on. You know David Moulton? Need I say more?
Do you know who I'm with?
Yeah. I can call him up right. at any time. Do you want me to do that?
I told you a couple weeks ago that don't make me go up the ladder story.
You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So that's what's going on around here.
So we're talking Ford versus Ferrari today.
Bloody hell.
Okay. Check the time codes if you're concerned about spoilers. But this is a biopic.
Not a biopic.
Biopic. How many spoilers could there really be?
Right.
Except for the ones in the cars.
Right.
How did you feel about this movie?
Well, David.
Question number one. What accent was that? English? Australian?
Bloody hell. This is my bloody London accent. I decided I'm going to review the old bloody picture. Just like I was Christian Bloody Bale. Master Wayne.
Master Wayne.
Bloody hell. What's the question?
What did you think of the movie? Couldn't even focus.
What's the question?
You know what I couldn't stop focusing on was the mole on his nose. Is that always been there?
Oh, that's a good question.
I was like, is this for the part? Or like, I remember Batman having that. Is this a new thing? I mean, it really doesn't matter, but I saw it in IMAX, and so it was really big.
Did you see Christian Bale in The Fighter?
No.
He's so good in that movie. He's incredible. Yeah. But in The Fighter, he plays this really strung out, really skinny boxer.
Oh.
Actually, he's the brother of the star of the movie, who's the boxer. And that's an incredible movie. But his character in Ford v. Ferrari reminded me of that character, not in the dysfunctional sense, but in the sense of like, so he carried himself the same way. Real kind of skinny and a little bit disheveled. And
always
a little
frowning.
Bit. What's that?
He was always frowning.
Yeah. 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 So I don't know. I mean, I enjoyed this movie. I loved it.
You don't sound like you loved it.
I could care less. I'm trying to think of the right way to put this. I enjoyed this movie as a fun movie. I felt as though I had two problems with it.
Okay.
My first problem was I picked up on some editing problems.
Oh.
which I don't usually pick up on. That's not usually my forte. I mean, they usually gloss right over that kind of stuff.
Were you sitting there and you're like, what's going on? My pinky is... get down! Get
my
down.
Pinky's coming up. Yeah, it was kind of stuff like that. Like, I just felt like there was some cheap moves made, you know, making the movie, some licenses that they took... I don't know. Like the scene where they were fighting in the driveway and the wife came out to watch it, like that was funnier in the trailer. It didn't really work for me in the movie. Mm. You know what I mean? And like there was just stuff like that. There was just stuff that for me like was contrived and cheap.
Yeah.
My second problem with it was Matt Damon's character, which I guess is based on true. I mean, that's part of the problem with this true story stuff. So the corporate bigwigs, the bad guys, tell him, you have to do this. And he says, I'm not going to do it. I refuse. And then they say, you have to. And then he says, okay. So that happens.
Yeah.
And then a little while later in the movie, the corporate bigwigs tell him he has to do something. And he says, I'm not going to do it. And they say, you have to do it. And he says, okay. And you're like, what? Then he has one final chance. You know, to stand his ground, and you're excited, you're cheering because you're like, oh, okay, now it all makes sense. All those times he caved was just to build up to the when he was going to finally find his balls, you know, and stand up to the man.
And no,
he said, okay.
Yeah, this movie is all about the corporation sticking it to you.
Yeah.
And then at the end, the climax of the movie, our heroes just get screwed over by the man.
Yeah.
And again, there's no redemption.
Right.
And then they're like, well, maybe next time they'll earn their stripes. No. Then main guy dies. I also felt like
main guy, not mean guy.
Main guy.
Main guy dies.
And then it seems I felt like Matt Damon's character was really flat.
Yeah.
Like it's supposed to be from his perspective.
Right.
And then Christian Bale's kind of like in and out. Like they follow him eventually, but it's really Matt Damon's like the lead. And it just seemed like compared to Christian Bale's character, he just didn't have a whole lot going on.
Right.
Like, and we didn't find out much about Shelby's personal life.
Right.
And for being the guy that we're following around, right. Like
here's a, for instance, the big final race, can't get the door shut.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's interesting. So the guy takes a sledgehammer to shut the door. Oh, that's really interesting because then what's going to happen is at the subsequent pit stops,
to yank it
he's
open.
Not going
to
be able to get out of the, you know, it's going to add time for him getting out of, it's going to be so, oh, this is really a tricky wrinkle.
Never a problem again.
No problem. Pops in and out.
Never,
you don't see any scuffs, any dents in the door,
right.
Any nothing.
Right. Yeah, I watched this movie and I thought it's fine.
Yeah,
I get it.
Yep.
Like, but here's the thing: I was watching it the whole time. I was like, if you like cars, you're gonna really like this movie. And I saw it with someone who likes cars, and at the end they were like, I really like the movie, and I was like, okay, I can understand why you like the movie.
I don't know. I'm not a huge car guy, but I liked the movie.
Yeah, I mean, I don't dislike it. It was a fine movie to me. I don't feel the need to really see it again. I don't really feel like I would be like, oh, you need to go see this movie to anybody. But
there was a racing movie. Mark and I saw it years ago here.
Fast and the Furious.
No, here in, I forget exactly when we saw it, but it was a great movie. It had to do with the Italian, it took place in Italy, and it was like, I think it was like Formula One. It was like this... classic rivalry between two guys.
It wasn't just that. There was one that was just called Formula One recently, wasn't there?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, there may have been, but that's not the one I was thinking of. But anyway, that was a great movie. And that movie really got into the two guys and their characters. And I felt like that was a comparable movie, but that one was much better.
Yeah.
So, whatever.
Yeah. So, am I on board with this movie? You know what? I'm going to say no.
I'm on board.
You are? Okay. I'm not on board. All right. Listener notes and questions. So Chris All Productions wrote in, and I believe he came on pretty hard last time.
Yeah.
And he said,
What'd he say, David?
He said...
What'd he say?
He said, now that I know that no one gets out alive, I don't have to worry about if I insult my second favorite host. Yeah. But he also wants to know, are you getting Planes, Trains, and Automobiles this year?
If I'm his second favorite host...
yeah.
Who's his first favorite? He's obviously a big fan of Pirate Dave, the ones to watch, the ones who watch.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, I mean, where does that leave you? Does that leave you like third or fourth? Or
I think,
fifth?
I think, no, well, I'm after the guy who does our intro and outro.
Fair enough.
Chet Williamson, shout out.
We are, what up, Chet? Big voice Chet, BVC. We're doing a great holiday run this year. We're doing Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Elf, Christmas Vacation, and we're doing Eight Crazy Nights, a Hanukkah-themed Christmas movie.
Very cool. You have to come back every night.
Did you catch that?
Yeah.
It's a Hanukkah-themed Christmas movie. wait, what?
Smooth move there. It's a Hanukkah-themed Christmas Kwanzaa movie.
How's that going to work? Yeah, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles plays the Monday night before Thanksgiving, as it has every year for the last 13 years.
The Monday, so next week?
Yeah. I'll be in Prague, but hopefully people will come out and check it out.
Praha's with the Brahas.
Praha's with the Brahas. What's up, Marley Bear? We're coming for you.
Watch out.
Joel Cornett wrote in.
Yeah.
Moaning and be groaning how hard it is to be a pimp.
Yeah. Life ain't easy for the pimp like Mr. Cornett. Easy.
Yeah, I think, did we just find his...
Joel Pimpnet?
Pimpin' Joel. Pimpin' Joel wrote in, it's hard to be a nerd. He likes Jedi. He doesn't love it. He's cautiously optimistic for JJ's work on Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
What is that?
I think what he's saying is, as a person...
You know what he's saying?
Yeah.
You know what? I'm sorry. Sorry, I interrupted you. You go ahead, okay. Please.
I think he's saying, as a person, he doesn't like The Last Jedi.
Okay.
As a nerd, he doesn't like... But as a nerd, he also kind of likes it because he loves Star Wars.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to hate it. Yeah. And so he can't fully write off the new one as a result.
Gotcha.
So...
But he's cautious. I like that turn of phrase. He's cautiously optimistic about the Rise of Skywalker, thanks to JJ.
Thanks to JJ.
Yeah.
I bet if JJ wasn't there, if it was Rian Johnson, I bet so many people wouldn't be on board.
Huh. Luckily, we'll never know.
He also likes our abbreviation for IP Man, Intellectual Property Man.
But he has a different one.
Oh, Internet Protocol Man.
He likes it, Internet Protocol Man.
That's great. Oh, my goodness.
The Shadow wrote in.
The Shadow.
Shadow. Shadow.
He wants to know what we think of The Mandalorian.
He wants to know what we think of The Mandalorian.
Right. And we can talk about this. Because
we can talk about this.
What? What?
I think I broke David.
I don't know how to make it. It's like, what action? If I feed into it, it's just never going to stop.
Did you pick up on what I was doing? I was an audio shadow. You're welcome. You're welcome, David.
Thanks. Was that the gift you've been building up to?
That's the gift I got, the audio shadow. The shadow.
Oh, it hurts. So he wants to know what we think of Mandalorian, and it was both on our list of what we've watched. So in response, we'll just move into what have we been watching, what have we been reading. The Mandalorian.
I love it. Now, I haven't seen the second episode yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah. When did that drop? When did that
Friday. Come? New episodes on Friday, so.
Is that the way it is? Every Friday, there's new episodes.
Yeah, right. So last Friday, the second episode.
Well, I haven't seen the second episode, but I loved the first one, And I loved it so much. I felt it brought up that emotional happiness.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like you feel like a little kid again a little bit, you know, where you're like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know,
this is like Star Wars for me.
Yeah.
And you can feel like, I love that John Favreau's directing.
Yeah.
Like it's got his style to it, which is great. But what I really like is that the first episode was written by Dave Filoni, who's written and headed up the animated series, which have been really good. They all start off kind of kiddie or kind of open, just kind of like and I felt that with The Mandalorian, like it's still very open as to what it could be. Like it's not very set in stone after the first episode.
Yeah.
And I think that he's great at mastering these episodic tales where like something happens during the episode, and you'll see this in episode two, something will happen during the episode that doesn't necessarily have to do with the giant overarching story, but at the same time, it kind of does. And so like you can be invested in this like short 30-minute adventure that isn't necessarily needed, but it adds to the goings on. And I think that that's masterful storytelling for a long thing. This is what, 10 episodes long?
I don't know.
Something like that. We have more of them to go. So I'm fully on board. This is the type of Star Wars that I want to see.
Yeah. And so. this is the kind of thing that you and I commented on, and I think I specifically said, this is why I'm really have sort of made peace with the whole concept of streaming. Because I think this kind of good energy doesn't take away from movies. It's going to end up adding to movies.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to end up increasing the enthusiasm, supporting the enthusiasm, encouraging the enthusiasm for movie going.
Yeah.
And yeah, it just means there's great content to watch at home, but sometimes there's going to be great content that you're all that much more excited to see because of what you've been watching at home.
Right.
So I don't know. It's great. Mandalorian. Woo!
Woo!
All right, what do you got? What else have you been watching?
All right, so I also, just yesterday, rewatched What We Left Behind, looking back at Deep Space Nine. That was a documentary you showed here for a Fathom event. Still stands as one of the best documentaries about pop culture I've ever seen. My mom wasn't even a Deep Space Nine fan, and she was like, she's watching it, and she's like, I want to watch that episode that they're talking about.
Where did you watch this documentary?
I bought the Blu-ray. But
can you watch it online? Like, can you watch it Netflix or Prime or anything?
I think it's streaming on Prime.
Okay.
Or if not from Prime, off of the Shout Factory website, which is the production company.
Okay.
But I wound up buying the Blu-ray for it. I really, really enjoyed it. I think I guess you kind of have to like Star Trek a little bit, but even if you're not uninitiated to Deep Space Nine, you can really enjoy this for if you like filmmaking in general, you like this. I also have been watching the second season of Discovery. Star Trek Discovery, which I'm liking more and more. I think there are characters I hate, but it's growing on me. Then I did a real world thing this week. I went and saw Jimmy Eat World in concert.
What?
I know. And it was,
where?
I saw him in Harrisburg in this tiny little place called the HMAC or HAMAC or something. I don't know, whatever. Tiny little bar place, which is so crazy because last time I saw him, selling out big venues. And now this band, it's been around since the 90s, is doing smaller. So one of the things they said when they said how they wrote like one of the songs in 94, they said, aging isn't optional. But the key line from the evening, I saw it with my boy Mitch, and he said, he's looking around and he says, I keep thinking I see people I know. But then I realize there's a demographic and it's me. And these are all people I would know. So
that's great.
How about you? What have you been doing?
Well, I watch the first thing that popped up on my Disney Plus.
Oh.
I'm a little bit embarrassed to say. Before I watched Mandalorian, before I watched any movies, before I watched anything, I watched Breaking 2, which is a Nike documentary about Eliud Kipchoge, who is a West African runner who is attempting to break the two-hour mark for running a marathon in 2 hours.
A National Geographic side of the
type
Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. This is an incredible, incredible movie. And this is an incredibly inspiring athlete. And his whole mantra, which applies to running, you can apply to whatever you're into. His thing is, work hard, live simply, and you're free.
Huh.
I mean, it's beautiful. It's so, like, deep.
Yeah.
It's really cool. Anyway, I watched that. I loved it. I finished Living With Yourself,
which
is on Netflix, I think. I'm fully on board for Living With Yourself. I can't wait. I also started watching season two of Jack Ryan, which I'm enjoying. Mm-hmm. We'll see how that plays out. But getting back to Disney Plus.
Yeah. Okay.
Loved Mandalorian. We already talked about that.
Right.
I'm like giddy with these Star Wars movies. Yeah. I recently watched The Last Jedi.
Right.
And then this week I watched Return of the Jedi.
What order are you watching these movies?
I'm watching them alphabetically.
I'm going in reverse every other movie.
No, it just, somebody said to me the other day, I forget where we were. You might have been with me. It might have been at somewhere at the film festival. Yeah. We were talking about trilogies.
Uh-huh.
And we were saying, has the third one ever been better than the first two? Like, has the third movie of a trilogy ever been the best of the three?
You asked me this question, and I said Return of the Jedi.
Okay, so it was you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so that's why I watched Return of the Jedi, and I tend to agree. It was awesome.
It's great, right?
Yeah, absolutely amazing.
I mean, it is more, looking back, it's more kiddish.
Yeah,
but
that's all right.
And maybe that's why I loved it as a kid.
Right.
So,
yeah.
I don't know.
And then shout out to my girl, Kayla.
Oh.
Kayla K, Kayla Kett, King of the World, gets accepted to every college she goes to.
Oh, my word.
When her and Marley and I were younger, we would all watch Good Luck Charlie.
Yeah.
Or at least that's the memory. That's how I remember it.
Meanwhile, they're like, that never happened.
Right. It may or may not have happened, but I'm pretty sure it did. But I also watched iCarly, mm-hmm. sort of all those good kids movies or shows, you know. And it's so fun seeing them back on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Kayla and I have been watching Good Luck Charlie.
Nice.
Which is like very, feels very nostalgic for me.
Nice.
But whatever. I'm into it.
Super awesome.
Next week.
Okay. The Irishman.
Arr.
Yeah. Now.
That's my Irish accent. It sounds a lot like a pirate.
Let me tell you something. Ever since I met Pirate Dave, I now run into our boy everywhere I go.
Oh, yeah?
Which, by the way, side comment, he didn't write in this week, but he did give me a big lengthy talk about why he thinks The Mandalorian is ruining Star Wars.
Ooh.
So, Pirate Dave, write in about that, please.
Yeah, our listeners could tune in to The Ones Who Watch.
Yeah, I'm sure they're talking about it.
Which is Pirate Dave's podcast, where he discusses, I think, actual, like, grown-up stuff, like movie stuff.
Gross.
Thoughtful. Prepared.
I bet his co-host doesn't take the time out of his day to repeat everything that he says. Yeah, but I saw him at Jimmy, I didn't see him. He was at Jimmy Eat World, and then when I walked out of Ford vs. Ferrari, he came at me in the parking lot. Crazy guy. No, just kidding. It was great to see you.
Love that guy.
So, all right. So, The Irishman next week.
Irishman next week.
Cool. So, ways that you can hit us up. You can hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/The Penn Cinema Podcast. You can also find us on all your streaming services. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and you could find yourself if.
And only if.
If. I forgot I saw Motherless Brooklyn, which I really like. If. If you can make Penn laugh, find yourself with some IMAX tickets. So the challenge is up. Can you do it?
Real quick.
Yeah.
We're about to sign off.
Yeah.
Probably people already turned it off.
Right.
But Motherless Brooklyn, I've been fielding some questions. It's going away. If you want to see it, hurry up.
Okay. I enjoyed it a lot. It's a very old style film, but it's really good.
Last show is on Thursday.
Okay. Get on it, people. All right. So you can also email us, podcast@penncinema.com.
We accept emails with questions,
comments,
or answers.
Oof. Wow.
If you want to tell us something we don't already know,
there's a lot of those.
There's plenty of room. There's so much room for activities.
So, once again, for the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care and party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.